Hey, welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Of course, it's brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Well, here it is. The high school regular season's done. Postseason has come. And on Care Radio tomorrow night, we're going to have postseason football as it'll be Troy at Jefferson County North, 7 o'clock ballgame tomorrow from Winchester here on Care Radio. And then Saturday afternoon, it's a road trip. The Ravens are going to be battling the elements and battling Baker. We're going to be in Baldwin City for that one, a pregame here on Care at 12:45. Ravens and Wildcats at 1 o'clock from Baldwin City and Liston Stadium. Well, guys, here we go. We've got so much to talk about with the high school football and the postseason scene. Last week in a Meadowlark, I'm looking at the scores, and there's a crazy one. There's no surprises probably in there as Atchison continues to dominate 4A.
Yeah, Atchison scores 66 points, continues to do what they've done all season. They only give up one touchdown to Wyandotte, and Atchison's in a really good spot. We're going to talk about the brackets here in a second, but again, great season for the Phoenix so far.
Washington over Highland Park. Harmon in a, I don't know if that's a soccer or a baseball score, 1-0 as St. Mary's Academy forfeits the game. Lincoln Prep over Sumner and Bonner Springs. No difficulty with Schlegel.
But you look back at that Harmon game where it's going to be a forfeit. Harmon breaks their losing streak that dates back to, 2017-18? So, again, for Harmon, it's not exactly the way you drew it up, but at the end of the day, it's a W.
Yeah, you take the dub, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, NEKL. So, again, a lot of points and few surprises probably is Silver Lake over the ACCHS. JCN, we were at Mission Valley with them, 68-7. JCN's good, Gus.
Okay, but you look at the spreads in these games, though, right? Like, I mean, so the team that wins scores a lot. The team that didn't only scored one score or less. I mean, you look at the teams that didn't win, 0-0, 6-7, 7-7, 0. So, I mean, again, a lot of points being scored by one team, not a lot of points being scored by another. Centralia, St. Mary's, Jackson Heights, Oskaloosa, and Waubunsee all come away with nice wins there. So, real quick, before we jump into taking a look at our postseason brackets, we can finally look at the league standings and decide that in the Meadowlark, we knew a couple weeks ago, Atchison was going to be the champion, right?
You knew it in August.
Well, yeah, that too. But especially that Thursday night down in Topeka when Atchison knocked off Highland Park, we knew Atchison was going to win it. Atchison finishes perfect in the Meadowlark, 6-0. Highland Park and Washington both end the season at 4-2. You had Sumner and Schlegel at 3-3. Wyandotte at 1-5. And then Harmon not getting a conference win. Jump over to the Northeast Kansas League. You had co-champions JCN and Jackson Heights both finishing undefeated. One was 5-0, the other was 4-0. ACCHS comes in second in the league at 4-2. McLouth at 3-2. Oskaloosa at 3-3. Pleasant Ridge at 2-3. Then you have Horton, Valley Falls, and Moore Hill Mount Academy rounding out the Northeast Kansas League. So,
all right, now we're gonna just take a quick turn here, and then we'll get into the brackets because people need to know who they're playing and how these brackets are shaping up. But you talked about Meadowlark. We talked about NEKL. Every team in the Meadowlark is in the playoffs, but not every team in the NEKL is in the playoffs. And I just hate the fact that we go to week 9 and some of these teams are playing a game that they just call week 9. And it makes me kind of sad that unlike basketball, not every team is in the postseason.
Yeah, but you also look back.
I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, but you also look back to 15 years ago, only two of these teams were going on, or one of these teams were going on, right? And then they said, well, that's not fair. Let's take two. And then within the last 5 years, they decided, okay, let's open this up to, most of the teams. So, yeah, I don't really know if there's a good way of fixing it to, be like high school basketball where everybody makes a dance and, survive in advance. But, right now, it's a better system than it was, right? Because there were years where you had really good teams staying at home because they were in a stacked district where only one team got out.
All true. Hey, gosh, 6A, everybody's in. Gardner Edgerton, the top of the top bracket. Washburn Rural, the top of the lower half, the west half bracket. And, you know, 6A's just got some really, really good teams. I mean, I'm more and more familiar with Shawnee Mission Northwest, Shawnee Mission East, Shawnee Mission South, Shawnee Mission West, Shawnee Mission North, you know, all the geographic points. And these teams, I don't know how you pick winners for these or how you even decide, because at this level, there are so many great athletes on every team.
Yeah, and can I tell you, about a quarter of the state, maybe a little more, a third of the state, plays tonight, right? So it's just kind of weird. It also feels like 20 years ago when you always had the you finish on a Thursday night and then you turn around and play it on a Tuesday and then a Saturday.
For a while it was Monday. Right? For a while it went Monday, and then they said there's just not enough time, and so then they pushed it to Tuesday, Friday.
Okay, so anyway, but yeah, a lot of games going on around the state here this evening, and some games in our area. So, jumping down, I mean, you start getting into 5A, you're going to see teams like Kansas City Washington is going to be playing Topeka Seaman. You've got Mill Valley and Topeka West. It's weird to me that Leavenworth is now a 5A school. Harmon and Highland Park are going to square off again. Shawnee Heights will be at home with Sumner. So those are some games that, you know, overlap the Meadowlark, but are also part of this 5A state tournament.
Yeah, the 6A, 5A, 4A teams are all playing Friday, by the way. Okay, there are no Thursdays in any of those, and that would include in 4A, you know, you shake your head, is there a Thursday game in 5A or something?
Yeah, Wyandotte and Olathe East play tonight.
Oh, okay. Because I just was looking through at all the 1027s and thinking that they were all Friday night, but I missed that one. Well, tomorrow night, the Atchison Phoenix are going to be up at Amelia Earhart Stadium, and they're going to be hosting Bonner Springs, an old Huron League opponent.
Yeah, Bonner Springs is a team who got a victory last Friday night. They knocked off Schlegel 36-6, and so Atchison will get Bonner. Then they'll look into week two and get the winner of Eudora and Piper. That ball game being played at Eudora. Drop down a little further in that same little sub-bracket, you're going to have Chanute at home with Schlegel, and then Tonganoxie will be home with Ottawa. So those are going to be the eight teams, you know, in your quick portion of the bracket.
And people are also going to look at the very bottom of this east bracket, where they'll find an interesting early matchup.
It was much better to be one
than to be two. Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, the road is much different if you're two and you look at those bottom eight.
It's huge. Bishop Miege is number two, and they're going to be at home Friday with St. James Academy. And the winner of that one the next week will be playing the winner of St. Thomas Aquinas, who's hosting Fort Scott. I mean, murderer's row right here. This is a tough way to come up. It's like coming to the loser side of a softball bracket. I mean, this is tough business here.
Yeah, you're going to have Lewisburg at home with Labette County, but Baser Linwood home with Paola. So, yeah, I mean, you look at those eight teams right there. I mean, you're looking. Basically, if you were going to sim through this, you're going to be talking like, what, Aquinas and Miege playing in round two. So Miege would have to go through St. James in round one. They would have to beat Aquinas in round two. And then they would get somebody like Paola, Baser, or Lewisburg.
Yeah.
To get the right to play that top portion.
Yeah. And the bottom, by the way, if you want to pull out your, you know, that fold-up map of yours of Kansas, and the west half begins not that far west at Wamego. They're the number one seed in the west. They've got El Dorado at Wamego Friday night, and they will play then, whoever wins that, will play either Winfield or Rose Hill. Also, teams out of the west, the number two seed is going to be Bueller, and they've got a 6 o'clock tip-off. Friday, or kickoff Friday night. I'm already thinking basketball. We've got that coming up in a few days. We've got Bueller at 6 o'clock hosting Ulysses. And you know why you play Ulysses at 6 o'clock? Because after the game, it's daylight. They're watching the sunrise in the rearview mirror of the bus as they're still going home. That's how far west Ulysses is. And Bueller, of course, down more in the Wichita Metroplex kind of an area.
Drop down to 3?
Yeah, go to 3A. Here we go.
So now we're getting into some teams that are a little closer to home. Wellsville is going to be hosting Perry LeCompton. We got to see the cause a little earlier. Holton will be home with Bishop Ward. Hayden is going to be home with Baldwin. So, yeah, see, Holton and Hayden are going to be far enough apart. Royal Valley is going to travel to Santa Fe Trail. Wasn't Santa Fe Trail in the Big 7 there for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
And then they weren't, and then they were back in for a minute, and now they aren't.
Yeah, and now the Big 7 aren't.
Right. Twas. Then you drop down to the west half of the state, and, yeah, I mean, you got Andale and Hugoton. Rock Creek, who's out there in western Kansas, they're going to be hosting Chapman.
Yeah, so, Marysville, by the way, they're also way western Kansas.
Yeah,
know.
And they're going to have to go to Heston.
Yeah.
To one of my little favorite mascots.
And, yes, talking about way out west, you've got Scott City will be at home with Smoky Valley. So, Class 3A playoffs also going to begin Friday night. Now, we already talked about in, you know, some of the local teams, we go to 2 and 1A. You're going to have games tonight. ACCHS plays tonight, right? Or, yeah. And also with Sabetha, and you also are going to have Morehamout Academy is going to be at home tonight. And so,
I've also got Pleasant Ridge. Yeah, Pleasant Ridge is going to be at Nemaha Central. That's a 6 o'clock game tonight. So
there you have that. That's kind of a tough draw for them. But you look around the rest of the Class 2A brackets, number one seed is Riverton, hosting West Franklin. Pomona is one of your favorite stops. Mm. The winner of that will play the winner of Humboldt, Cherryvale. Silver Lake is going to be hosting Minneapolis. We mentioned that tonight it's Sabetha at home with Atchison County. Osage City will play also tonight with Neodache. Caney Valley with Council Groves. Nemaha Central tonight, Pleasant Ridge. Rossville has Riley County. That's the east half in the 2A. Right, you go out west, you've got southeast of Saline and Chaparral, Kingman and Hillsboro, Hoisington at home, Phillipsburg, Beloit and Lakin, Garden Plain, Halstead, Ellsworth and Haven at Ellsworth, and Norton will host Cimarron, Larned at home with TMP.
So then, dropping down to Class 1A. Friday night, it's going to be JCN hosting Troy, a game that will become a conference game here very quickly. But those two teams will match up here shortly. Other games going on around. St. Mary's Colgan is going to be at home with Pleasanton. You're going to have St. Mary's at home with Riverside. Jackson Heights is going to host that Mission Valley team we just saw a couple nights ago. Olpe will be home with Northeast Arma. That's a 6 o'clock game tonight. Just checking my dates, make sure I'm right. Centralia is going to host Oskaloosa tomorrow night. That JCM portion of the bracket, the winner of JCN Troy will then, in round two, get the winner of Centralia and Oskaloosa.
How is it that we end up seeing games with someone from around here and Centralia every year in round two? That's because Centralia continues to win in the postseason. That's
yeah,
why.
And then, again, it shouldn't shock you that whoever wins that game will then go on to probably most likely play Olpe. So.
Yes. And, that's kind of how that shakes out. Out west, Smith Center. How about the Indians, huh? They've got Belle Plaine out there. Other teams with whom you may be familiar.
Conway Springs.
Ellis is hosting Sterling. Hutch Trinity goes to Plainville. Medicine Lodge at home. It's a 6 o'clock game with Oakley. And again, another serious, serious road trip.
Plainville and Hutch Trinity. Valley Heights. Isn't that somewhere near here? Kind of. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
I feel like I've heard of Valley Heights before, so.
Yeah, it's Randolph, the Mustang, isn't it?
Randolph, flying over my head. I feel like that is a reindeer, you know, maybe not. Again, lots of games going on. We're to that time of the year. It's kind of crazy. It's fun. Follow your team. Enjoy the ride, because, again, no matter how good you think your team is, or maybe you don't think your team's great, you never know. I mean, the bounce of a football, and all of a sudden, it becomes a special year.
Yeah, things happen. You want to be there. You don't want to miss it. And, of course, you're able to hear many of those games around the MSC Sports Network. Go to msesports.net. Check out that schedule and support that team. Get out there. It's going to be, well, it's going to be cold is what it's going to be.
It'll be okay for a day, maybe.
It's football. It's football weather, you know? Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We've got tons more coming up. Sports Look continues here on Kit Radio right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on a Thursday night edition, as always. And, Gus, how about those Benedictine Ravens last week? It was homecoming for BC, and if there has ever been a better crowd at a ball game, I don't even know when it was. The place was absolutely packed. The stadium was packed. The parking lots were packed. There were fun things going on for the kids. It was a festive atmosphere. Beautiful, beautiful Chamber of Commerce weather. And a great day for the Raven football team.
I feel like there was a coach once that says, great day to be a Raven.
Great day to be a Raven.
Yeah, I mean, BC was kind of able to do a lot of the things they wanted. Missouri Valley, you know, clock strikes midnight. You're back to the pumpkin that you have been in this conference for the last, like, 5 years. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it prior to the game. The Missouri Valley finally got that monkey off their back, maybe, and I think maybe they were the team that was pushing to bring Missouri Baptist into the conference and say, hey, maybe we can beat a team in the division. But Benedictine was just so good on Saturday. The stats kind of make you say, okay, wait a second.
Yeah.
But they were. They were just, the whole time you watched that game, they were the better team. But Missouri Valley passed for 191 yards. Benedictine passed for 185 yards. Missouri Valley has 18 first downs. Benedictine has 16 first downs. Missouri Valley was 5 of 16 on third down. Benedictine was 5 of 11 on third down. Fourth downs, Valley hit on 40% of them. Total offense, 325 to 319. But at the end of the day, Benedictine was able to, I don't know, just control the narrative of that ball game, and their defense has been so lights out this season. Then Jagger, you know, puts the exclamation mark on that game.
Yeah, if you looked at those numbers, you'd say, wow, bad day for the Ravens. They punted more. They had more penalties and penalty yardage. I mean, right down the line, you would look at those things and say, there's no way that they won, and yet they never trailed in the game. And frankly, even though it was a one-score game at halftime, you never felt that Missouri Valley was ever, ever, ever going to be part of that game.
Yeah, Dalton Witherspoon, 11 carries, 84 yards in the ballgame. Didn't get in the end zone. Sean Mora, 11 carries for 28 yards, where, you know, the week before he had gone off for about 130 yards. So, again, it's the numbers didn't look great. Caden Austin only played one series. He was 0 for 2 passing. Jackson Dooley threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But, again, that defense, 5 sacks against Missouri Valley, and all of those were timely sacks, right? Like third down, just turn them loose, get in there, get the sacks. Benedictine, 8 penalties. One of those things that you look at. Time of possession went to Missouri Valley, but your leading tackler, Jagger Blueball, gets an interception, takes it 64 yards back to the house for a touchdown. Tony Harris, the quarterback for Missouri Valley, 2 fumbles, ends up losing one of them. Benedictine, like we talked about, 5 sacks. Heron gets 1. Isaac gets 2. Cole Johnson has a half a sack. Heath Baker gets a half a sack. And then you dial it up for your safety, Dominique Stone King, to get a big sack. So,
huge day for Benedictine. And Gus, any of the people who were saying, you know, in the 80s and 90s, oh, we don't need to have football on the campus of Benedictine, they got to be, you got to be telling them, yeah, look at this.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun day. Had people just jammed in there. Games around the conference. Baker beat Missouri Baptist 41-17. Clark outlasted Culver 14-7. It was Grandview over Graceland 52-13. Mid-America 59-12 winners over Central Methodist. And Peru State beats William Penn 24-13. Spoiling homecoming in Oskaloosa.
Okay, so now it is so hard to believe. Again, we've come to the end of the high school regular season for Benedictine football. Only 3 weeks remain in the regular season as we're 8 down. And this week, 12:30 game in a conference, Penn at Culver. It's homecoming for CSC. Everybody else kicks it off at 1 o'clock. Clark at Graceland. Valley at Central Methodist. Missouri Baptist travels to Mid-America. And Peru goes to Grandview. And, of course, again, the game we'll be having for you on K-Radio, Benedictine at Baker, 1 o'clock, Liston Stadium, Baldwin City. Senior day, by the way, for the Wildcats.
So there's one game in the conference, right?
This one?
Yeah. I mean, Penn and Culver could be somewhat competitive, but nobody cares to watch it. Clark and Graceland, it's a battle of Iowa schools wearing gold and navy. Yikes. Missouri Valley and Central Methodist, that's homecoming in Fayette, but again, you talk about two teams, a geographic rivalry, but I think Valley comes away with a win there, maybe. And Peru is going to go to Grandview, and, I mean, why play it, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of pretty much where it shakes out. So,
crazy,
anyway.
We're all the way to the last week of October football, right? Next week we're going to be into November and have that November 4th ball game. We're going to be in St. Louis next week. So, also, there are things happening as basketball season rolling around. The Benedictine Lady Ravens are going to be in action on Monday. They'll be playing at St. Mary's Leavenworth. And you have to kind of preface that because in the past, Benedictine has played both St. Mary's Leavenworth and St. Mary's out of Omaha, but this time it will be St. Mary's Leavenworth.
Yeah, and of course we're going to have ladies basketball Wednesday here on Care Radio, and then the Benedictine guys, when are they? They've got, Monday, and then Wednesday for the BC guys at home with Haskell, Cougar bringing him up.
Exactly, yep. So that's kind of been a game that the Benedictine men have played over the last handful of years is, you know, playing Haskell in the non-conference. Because this year, you only get, what, like three non-conference games because you're going to play everybody in a double round robin. So Benedictine men last Friday night lost to Missouri Western in an exhibition game, 83-71. Saturday, they're going to play at home with McPherson. That's going to be a 12 noon tip-off. So, again, we'll try to keep you updated on that score throughout the Benedictine football game on Saturday. But, again, next Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock tip-off versus Haskell.
Wow. Tons of stuff going on, and we are looking forward to bringing you those games. Tell you what, we're looking forward to bringing you a little interview coming up. We've got Raven wideout, wide receiver, fun guy to talk to. Jacob Gathright's going to come and join us. We've got that and then more Sports Hook as we continue here on Care. We've got Jacob Gathright joining us. He's a receiver for the Benedictine football team. Jacob, good to meet you, man. How's it going?
It's going great today. How about yourself?
That's good. Hey, let's start off with the Jacob biography. Tell me a little bit about where you're from, home life, some of that.
Well, I was born and raised in Oceanside, California. With both parents, they raised me well, supported me. We're always going on vacation. They were my number one fans in high school football, ever since youth, honestly, and now they're loving it. My dad has a BC jersey with my name on it, so, yeah, he's loving it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think I saw a guy from Oceanside in an RV a while back.
Yeah, I think that probably was my dad, yeah.
So they get a chance to come to some of the games at least?
Yeah, they're both retired, so they love to just come fly out here, sometimes drive out here, and yeah, they're coming out here this weekend too. So.
Fantastic. Now, what do you have in the way of siblings, brothers, sisters, and stuff at home?
Yeah, I have one younger brother that's from my mom's. Me and him are my mom's only sons, and I got an older brother who went to Baker. His name is Jeremy Gathright. He won nationals in the 400 meter. And I have an older sister named Sydney, and she's living in Atlanta, I think.
So I usually ask about the siblings being athletic, but obviously, you know, you're not the only athlete in the family.
No, yeah. Jeremy, I've never raced him, but I've always wanted to know who was faster. So.
See, you'll be able to argue about that forever. So don't race him. You'll always be able to tell him you're better,
sure,
right?
Yeah, I could just say, you know, I of course I am.
Yeah. Tell me about high school football.
It was great. I had fun at El Camino High School. I grew up with the same friends I had, so it was kind of a family with that team, and especially our rival school in Oceanside. I played youth football with them too. Kind of in San Diego, it's we have like a pride, I guess, over there just with our football. And I know we have some coaches here, like Hauser and both Barrazas. They were from Mission Hills, and that's a really good team too. So, it kind of just felt like home going from there to here because I had a touch of home, really.
Now, how good was your high school team? Pretty good?
We won in 2019. We made it to state and lost. We were runner-ups in state, but that was probably like my funnest season ever. We were pretty good.
When you were in high school, besides football, I'm guessing a guy with your athletic ability, that was not the only sport you played.
Yeah, I played 2 years of basketball and 2 years of track, too. Those were fun years. Had made new friends in both teams, and I just got to showcase my God-gifted ability.
Now, so how does a guy from Oceanside make it to Atchison, Kansas? Tell me about how that recruiting journey came about.
Man, I think Hauser's just really good at his job, and he knows where the talent's at. He went and sought me. My freshman year, one of my youth football players, he became here too. And we were roommates. And
who's that?
His name was Vincent Fanotti. He doesn't go here anymore.
Okay.
Hauser just did a good job of recruiting. And they got me out here on a visit. And I saw, the program and the facilities. And I viewed myself here, and here I am.
Now, with a brother who played football in Kansas, had you been to Kansas before? I mean, or was this like kind of a first time this way?
He ran track in Kansas, but I watched him graduate from Kansas Wesleyan to get his master's. I never got to see any of his meets or anything, but I was out here for a second, and I was really young at that time, though. It was a very long time ago, so I don't remember much. But I just remember being in this living space and just thinking how, at the time, college is so hard, and I was so proud of him and stuff. And now I'm out here living it. So,
had you ever been in cold weather before your first winter here in Atchison?
No, not really. Just on winter vacation in Big Bear, but this is something else. it taught me how to dress for it, and it's cool. I've in New Jersey, my dad's side is from New Jersey, so I experienced snow there once, but it wasn't nearly as harsh as Kansas could get. So.
Jacob Gathright's with us, joining us here halftime. And now, Jacob, you said that your family went on vacations and travel. So where were some of the places that you've been, and where are some of the places that you really enjoyed seeing and going to?
I was very young at this time, but the islands, Kauai and Maui, and those were just, the snorkeling was awesome, the water was so clear, and I loved the luaus. And then we also went to, we're a big Disney family, so we would have Disneyland season passes, which is an hour away from us, but they once took me and my brother to Disney World, and that was just extremely magical. You can't replicate that.
Hey, Disneyland, favorite ride? What's the one that you're going to stand in line for the longest so you can get on?
That's a hard one. I think my OG ride is going to have to be Space Mountain. I think that was probably one of the first roller coasters I've ever ridden. But a close second is, it's now called the Incredicoaster, but that's a really thrilling thrilling ride.
So you're a coaster guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Worlds of Fun, ever been down there and ridden any of them?
No, World of Fun. I never heard of it.
Oh, okay. there's something for you to look into next spring.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about the important stuff, school. Tell me about your, what degree you're working toward and things like that here academically. Have you declared?
Not yet. I came in as a civil engineering major, and I lasted a good year and a half in it, and then I just realized with football and everything going on, it was very tedious. I wasn't enjoying myself as much as I am now. I am undecided, but I love viewing all the things that I could soon be passionate about, you know, thinking about what I want to declare as. I'm thinking graphic design or computer science. Right now I'm in classes geared towards like media and society and stuff, so, and I'm liking it with Mr. Troop.
So where would you project yourself? Have you thought, you know, 5-10 years down the road, you know, where am I going to find you, and what are you going to be doing? Any ideas at all? Have you thought about that much?
I just like to view myself as like a creator, something that I could take pride in and that other people might enjoy viewing too. Maybe like marketing or advertising and commercials, or making my own, like, you know, character or something. So you'll probably see me working from home on my computer, animating or drawing things. So
you're a people kind of a guy. You like doing things, you know, with people and cooperative work and things like that.
I don't mind it. Yeah, I like making new friends. I've always told that I'm very easy to talk to, so I enjoy it.
Let's talk Benedictine football a little bit. As you come in, you know, Coach Osborne, I mean, he was the coach, head coach here when you recruited in, right?
Yes, he was.
So you got to love the style of offense, and when they get that vertical game going, I mean, that's got you written all over it, right?
It does. My first time here in fall camp, it was. That's when I first showcased my speed here, and then next week I'm on the varsity squad. So, yeah, I like how their offense is geared. I also like their program and the culture that we're building around here. I got to watch them make it, and so, yeah, I love how many playmakers we have on the field, and it's just a fun time on Saturdays.
Tell me about the team besides Saturdays. I mean, I get the vibe. It's a close-knit bunch that you guys hang and do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're kind of, it's a brotherhood. We eat together every day. We see each other every day. It's fun. It's hard not to become friendly with your teammates. So.
What kind of hobbies do you have? I mean, when you're hanging with the guys, you're playing video games, or do you do other stuff, you know, besides that?
Man, I'm a video game guy myself. Me and my friend James Johnson, he will hop on Siege all the time. I know a lot of my teammates love to go fishing on the weekends when they have spare time. I need to get out there myself. I've been wanting to, but yeah, fishing, video games, and partying.
What's your video game? What's the one game that I don't want to even challenge you because you're that good?
Rainbow Six Siege. Yeah, you don't want to touch me in that, I don't think. But I've just been playing that for so long, I think that's why. But yeah.
All right, Jacob Gathright, do you have any like hidden talents? Something that I don't know about you? Do you play a musical instrument? Do you sing? Do you do, you know, do you build ships in a bottle? Is there something that we don't know about you?
Man, I dance a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah, like, just freestyle. I don't know. I've always been told I love to dance. Like, going out in a party, I'll be on the dance floor. So, I guess that's pretty... I've always wanted to dabble in that, see if I could, like, take it somewhere. But, yeah, it's always been fun to dance.
So, the good wheels out on the field, you know, transfer over to the good wheels on the floor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure does.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about, you know... some of the things that you and your friends do besides, I mean, you talk about you want to go fishing. Do you fish? Have you fished? Are you got any experience?
I fished before, yeah. I've caught one fish in my life. And we
Is that
ate,
right?
Yeah, we ate it, and then I got sick. So, I mean, it was cool, though. It was fun.
It wasn't the fish's fault, man. We got to talk to the cook.
Most likely. Or the water. I don't know.
May have been that, too. Okay. Favorite color Gatorade?
Ooh, I like cool blue. That one's refreshing.
Okay. Morning bird, early bird, night owl, what are you?
Night owl. I could stay up forever and then have a great day as long as I get a nap in between.
If you weren't playing football in college, you know, what would you be doing? I mean, what other than football would you, like if you were playing baseball, basketball, another sport, track, I mean, what else would you be doing if it wasn't football?
I'd probably be like running track somewhere, or if it wasn't that, I'd probably be at home and hopefully in like a UC school, and then I don't know, that fraternity life seems pretty fun. Yeah.
Favorite movie? What, the movie that you love to watch and you could watch like every
Comfort
night?
Movie, yeah.
Yeah, and that you know all the words, you know, that you know every line.
I'd have to say just the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, all of it. I love seeing Johnny Depp play Jack Sparrow, and it's just very amusing to me.
Okay, so you're a Johnny Depp comedy kind of a guy.
Yeah, honestly, he's so versatile too. I love Sweeney Todd, watching him play Sweeney Todd too. And all the way to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He's one of my top actors, yeah.
Okay, you're out of SoCal. Have you ever bumped into or seen anybody like famous? Like, have you just like, you're going down the street or you're at the mall or whatever you're doing and you say, wait a minute, I know this guy.
I think the closest I was to a celebrity at that point was at Disneyland. I saw one of the characters from Ant Farm.
Okay.
But yeah, that was it. Me being young at the time, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. I got a picture with him. So, yeah.
This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say there's a young SoCal guy, and he's like saying, Jacob, man, I'm trying to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to school? I'm not sure how to move forward. And he comes to you for advice. What advice would you give, you know, a young guy who's saying, you know, help me out here? Any thoughts?
I'd probably just say, know what you're good at and find your passions and just stick with it. Just root yourself in how you know what you're good at, and don't let anybody else take it away from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's just take another scenario. It's off season, you know, mm-hmm. It's summertime or something, and here I am. I'm in San Diego, and I bump into you. Like, okay, where are you
going
to take me?
Where are
we going to go? What are we going to eat? Where's your like favorite place to eat? And like the one thing that I got to have from there that is fantastic? Because you can look at me, man. I love a meal.
Shoot, it depends on the budget. I'll probably take you to Benihana's. I know I love that place myself. And then for something fun, I like to roller skate. So there's this place called Epic Rollertainment. That place is pretty cool. They got the lights off and everything. Lights going off. R&B music, so yeah.
Do you can skate?
I'm trying to learn how to dance skate, but yeah, I could hold my own just cruising around. Yeah.
Backwards?
I'm getting there. I know how to spin.
Okay,
to spin, so.
That's great. Okay, last thing, and then we're going to let you go, and this is going to be the hardest question of the whole thing, so get ready for this.
Okay.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, which is...
Spider-Man. Everybody on my team knows I have Spider-Man gloves. They call me Spidey, man. I have Spider-Man merch galore. So.
Peter Parker is your alter ego.
Man, more like Miles Morales, but both anybody could be Spider-Man, so I'm loving it, yeah.
Jacob Gathright, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man, and getting to know you a little bit. We wish you and the Ravens continued success. Go Ravens.
Go Ravens.
Hey, welcome back. Sportsluck continues here on Care Radio. And tell you what else continues, Gus, is the Kansas City Chiefs' domination in the NFL. As last Sunday, 31-17, Chiefs over Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, so that was a game where Kansas City, you know, looked like they were going to be into that dogfight with the Chargers. They tend to play these games. They tend not to cover the spread all the time. All of a sudden, though, in the second half, the Chiefs came out, played much better defense. We saw them, you know, and you say much better defense, kind of crazy to say, with Nick Bolton going down with that dislocated wrist that's going to put him out like 2 months, right? Like
2 weeks.
Yeah. But when it's all said and done, Chiefs look pretty good against the Chargers.
Yeah, Kansas City's playing, they're playing well. They're not playing fantastic, but they're playing well enough, I think, you know, you just keep winning. Bottom line is, you just win those games and
yeah.
You go on.
At the end of the day, you don't look back and you say, man, you should have beat that team by 2 touchdowns. You know what? A win's a win, and right now the Chiefs are right out amongst the tops, and
well,
they would be the number one seed in the AFC if we went to the playoffs now.
Only 2 teams with 1 loss in the NFL, is that right?
What, the Chiefs, the Eagles?
I think it's Chiefs and Eagles, right?
Chiefs and Eagles? Yeah, maybe.
I'm just looking, Chiefs and Eagles. Yeah, they're the only 2 6-1 teams in the NFL today, and that's just kind of crazy. Well, the Chiefs, and it seems like it was just about, you know, 5 days ago they were playing the Denver Broncos. Well, they're going to do it again this time out of Mile High Stadium this Sunday, 3:25 ball game, Kansas City at Denver. And I don't think Denver's gotten any better in the past couple of weeks.
No, and listen to Andy Reid get interviewed the other day, and somebody said, do you keep some of the game plan that you played 2 weeks ago? He said, no, because if you keep game plans in this business, he said, that's how you don't last in this business, right? I'm sure there are parts that you keep, and there are things that you saw that you liked, but you also all along knew that you were going to use this part of the playbook in, you know, week 6, and you were going to use this part of the playbook in week 8. The Broncos are not a great football team. Now, the interesting thing is they're calling for decent amounts of snow in Denver on Saturday, possibly turning over into Sunday, but they think by game time that all that should be stopped. Whether that really matters or not, Patrick Mahomes,
he loves the snow.
He keeps saying he likes the snow. He said, never played in it, of course, you know, being in Texas, you know, growing up and things. But once he got to the NFL and being in Kansas City, he was in cold games and things like that. So, yeah, he seems to like it. And so the Chiefs, a 7-point favorite, 45.5 is the over-under. That is the Sunday 3:25 game. And, yeah, I think Chiefs should have no problems with the Broncos.
Hey, tonight... Okay, if you're not taking in high school football, or even if you are, you can watch Bucks and Bills tonight, and that might be a half-decent game, actually, don't you think?
Yeah, the Bucks defense is a little better than people give credit for. They're one of the best red zone defenses. The Bills are one of the best red zone offenses. I think that game really has some potential because, again, the Bills are struggling right now a little bit. They lost the other day to the Patriots. I wouldn't be shocked if this isn't a game where the Bucks come away with it. I know Buffalo right now, the people out in the desert say 9.5, and I'm telling you, they don't build those buildings not knowing something. So, yeah, right now, Buffalo, 9.5-point favorite in that ballgame.
Sunday games, Patriots are going to be at the Dolphins at noon. Dolphins looking to bounce back.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Tyreek has kind of popped up on their injury report, didn't practice yesterday with what they're calling a hip injury, and Tua made some really veiled comments about, you know, in the future when we get Tyreek back, and it makes people wonder, you know, what has happened between, you know, Sunday to Thursday. But yeah, I expect he probably plays, and I expect the Dolphins to have no problem with the Patriots.
Dallas Cowboys, who at 4-2 are the number 2 team in the NFC East, and they're going to be matched up against the Rams coming off their bye week.
Yeah, I think this could be a good game, right? The Rams have been playing decently, the Cowboys coming off the bye. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Cowboys. I heard one national pundit say, he was asked, you know, do you have faith in the Cowboys? He said, I'm an adult, of course I don't. You know, and it's because, you know, they haven't won since he was a kid. I just don't know that I believe in the Cowboys, but hey, they can prove me wrong.
I don't know if I believe in the 49ers anymore. At the start of the season, I thought, here's a Super Bowl contender. Now, they've taken 2 bad losses in a row.
That's the problem, is like you can lose games in the National Football League, but not those kind of games, right? The 49ers haven't been losing those, and can I tell you, the Bengals are playing better football right now. I think this is a tough spot for the 49ers, and not a must-win, but they really would like to win to keep pace with everybody else in your division.
Okay, Sunday night, there's going to be a game between two teams whose fan bases, one of them is just going to be ecstatic because they win a game. The Bears coming off a dub. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm thinking the Bears.
Yeah, so the Bears are a team who you got to start watching out for a little bit, and I'm not saying that they're going to do anything, but I feel like they're just playing a little better. I think ever since they've traded Chase Claypool, maybe they're happier in the locker room, right? They just seem like a different team. But playing the Division II quarterback, yeah, I don't know. Bears-Chargers actually could be a game. It won't be a pretty game to watch, but it could be a fun game to watch.
Monday Night Football, well, I tell you what, the Lions broke my heart last weekend, and they're going to come back home for the Monday night game, and they're going to be hosting the Raiders, who, you know, I don't know, I guess you can be worse than them, but you're going to have to kind of try.
Yeah, so you talk about the Lions, who came off a game last week where, you know, at least they tore your heart out and stomped on it right away, right? It wasn't close after that.
Never.
I mean, it was never a problem. Yeah, the Raiders, I don't know. I mean, the Raiders are the Raiders. They are so up and down as far as, you know, do you believe in him 1 minute? Do you like Devontae? Who's going to be the quarterback this week? I think this is a get-right game for the Lions. Lions an 8.5-point favorite in that, over-under at 46.
And then, of course, who do we have?
Oklahoma.
College football. Oklahoma. Gosh, they're good. They're just really good. I mean, they're really, really good.
Yeah, so they struggled a little bit on Saturday with, Central Florida? Kansas, who dismantled Central Florida a few weeks ago. But Kansas is just kind of a... They are an up-and-down team. I'm not sure that I'm really buying into much unless they have Jalen Daniels healthy, because with Jalen Daniels, they are an explosive team. They're a completely different team. With Jason Bean, they are a very nice middle-of-the-road Big 12, you know, middle to upper middle of the Big 12 type team. Here's the deal. Jalen Daniels plays, KU's got a shot against Oklahoma. If Jason Bean plays... I like Bean, but again, Oklahoma wins this thing by 14.
Talking about teams that, you know, kind of decent Big 12 teams, Kansas State is going to be at home. And they've got Houston coming in. Houston's going to have to grow up a lot if they're going to play in this conference.
Yeah, Houston was one of those teams who was kind of a darling coming into this conference. And then they said, wow, the level of play is a little better here. I don't know. I just think Kansas State doesn't have any problems with Houston, but I also feel like the last time I said that, K-State played at Oklahoma State. So, again, Kansas State has proved me wrong in the past, but I don't think they'll have any problems at home. 17.5-point favor in this one.
Nationally ranked pairing is Saturday. You got your Ducks. You got your Utes.
Yeah, you probably go for Utah, right? They're the team that's going to be moving into the Big 12 here soon. Oregon, a 6.5-point favorite with Bo Nix. But, again, playing at Utah is a different animal. I like the Utes.
Now, you also got to like it's World Series time, and, you know, we love to talk about the baseball and give it its proper due. But from coast to coast, I don't know how many fans are actually going to be tuned into the Diamondbacks-Rangers World Series. Not exactly what, you know, what the bulk of the fans in the country were hoping for.
Yeah, but I feel like baseball has kind of trended towards, like, the run-of-the-mill fan, like, isn't going to watch a team that's not their team, right? Like, I feel like baseball is struggling to... Perfect example would be, like, tonight's Thursday Night Football game. There's a chance you're going to watch Buccaneers-Bills, and you don't care about the Buccaneers or the Bills.
You're probably exactly right.
I like the Royals, but doesn't mean I'm going to tune in for Rangers-Diamondbacks. I mean, there's been so many playoff games. Don't have a clue. I just know that this is where we are, and I could have... If you asked me today, I could probably remember who the teams they beat to get here. I think wasn't it the Astros and the Phillies. Couldn't tell you any more than that. I couldn't tell you another team that the Rangers or the Diamondbacks played to get to this point. So, I mean, baseball's got to do a better job of reaching out to just that average fan who likes sports.
Okay, so would you be more inclined as a person with no dog in the hunt to watch Yankees-Dodgers or watch, you know, Red Sox and Padres?
Maybe, yeah. Now, the Padres are a disaster. I saw where their manager is leaving to go manage somewhere else, and I'm like, wow, you're going to step away from a $200 million payroll to go anywhere. So the World Series, I don't know. The other thing that drives me nuts is it will get in the way of probably some of my shows that I watch. So,
See, there you go. Hate to have that happen.
I would rather watch, you know, reruns of Big Bang Theory than...
I think his price is right.
Baseball,
I didn't know.
Right?
Hey, we got some things coming up. Not necessarily watching game shows on rerun, but tomorrow night we're going to have a high school football postseason play as Troy at JCN at 7 o'clock. Saturday, Benedictine, hoping to spoil homecoming senior day at Baker. 1 o'clock game, 12:45, as we'll talk to Coach Osborne, have keys to the game and all of that pregame stuff. 1 o'clock kickoff for the Ravens Saturday. Monday night, it's hoops time. BC Women at St. Mary's, and then Wednesday, the Benedictine men host Haskell. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's, our fantastic Sport Look sponsors. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody!